The State Division of Criminal Investigation is leading the investigation into this shooting yesterday at a school in Oshkosh that left a student and the police officer who confronted him injured. And this comes a day after a similar situation at Waukesha High School, at a Waukesha High School. So do you live in Oshkosh or Waukesha, or do you have a student who attends Oshkosh West High School? What is your reaction today? How do you feel about the latest school shootings in our state? We're at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Bridget Bowden is a special projects reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio, and she's been covering the situation in Oshkosh. Bridget, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So lead us through the events of what unfolded yesterday at Oshkosh West High School.
So a little bit after 9 a.m. yesterday at Oshkosh West, there was an altercation between a 16-year-old student and a student resources officer. The student stabbed the officer with some sort of edged weapon. The police haven't confirmed whether or not it was a knife. They're calling it an edged weapon. And then the officer fired on the student. Both the officer and the student are being treated at local hospitals for injuries.
You were there. How was the community reacting to this situation?
Obviously, it's a little unsettling, given that there was an officer-involved shooting in a school just the day before in Waukesha. By the time I got to Oshkosh, there was a perimeter established around the school for about three blocks, so you couldn't get into the school from any direction. And then students and parents were being reunited at a local middle school, and that was expected to wrap up yesterday afternoon. So all the students from Oshkosh West were expected to be sent home by about 2 p.m.
What have investigators said about the shooting at Oshkosh West High School? What do we know from them?
So it's obviously still very early. This just happened yesterday. But the incident is being investigated by the State Division of Criminal Investigation. As is required by state law, officer-involved shootings are investigated by outside agencies. So I believe they're looking at what could have caused this to happen, if there were any warning signs, if the evacuation was carried out correctly. I should say lockdown and evacuation, if that was carried out correctly. They're also looking at who was involved, if there were any other threats, that kind of thing.
How has Governor Evers responded to these shootings?
So Governor Evers actually released in a tweet yesterday that this incident at Oshkosh West hit home particularly for him because he had two of his children graduate from that high school. And so he released a statement yesterday that said, no student, quote, should be afraid to go to school or be in the classroom. So he's obviously concerned by what's going on here.
And Attorney General Josh Call has also spoken out.
Yes. Call said it would be difficult to say what might help prevent these incidents in the future, but he said more might be needed to be done to identify the threats in these kind of situations.
So do we know what will investigators be doing today and in coming days following, you know, two shootings in a row?
So I should say that the school is closed today, as are all schools in the district. So I imagine they may be doing more work within the school to investigate what could have caused this or what could have prevented it, really.
You also spoke with a Red Cross worker yesterday following the incident. What did they say?
Yes, I spoke to a woman who was with the Red Cross, and she was responding to the incident. She said she was a former high school counselor, and I asked her what parents should be watching out for after their children go through something like this at school, and she said that they should really be watching for acute stress responses, and she listed off a few things to watch for that included changes in sleeping patterns, changes in eating habits, a sudden drop of grades, sleeplessness, restlessness. That's the sort of thing that she said parents should be watching out for after their children have gone through this.
Were you able to see any parents and their kids together and what their reaction was like?
So by the time I arrived in Oshkosh, most the perimeter was established. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get near the school, and most of the parents had been reunited with their children. So I wasn't able to speak with any parents directly.
Well, Bridget, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Bridget Bowden is a special projects reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, the DNR is taking the first steps to regulate a class of synthetic chemicals called PFAS. It's in the early stages of the regulatory process. How do you feel about water quality in Wisconsin? How do you want the state to address PFAS? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. This conversation with the DNR is just ahead right here on the Ideas Network. There's a category of more than 4,000 industrial chemicals. Collectively, we call them PFAS. They're toxic. They're turning up in more and more sources of drinking water. And we saw last month the Environmental Protection Agency, they announced they want public input on potentially adding certain PFAS to the list of chemicals that companies are required to report on their toxic release inventory. Now, here in Wisconsin, the DNR is starting a multi-year process for regulation. So what questions do you have about PFAS and the safety of your drinking water? How do you want state and federal agencies to respond? We're at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to join in. Jim Zellmer is a water quality manager with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He's Deputy Division Administrator of Environmental Management. Jim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So the DNR is in the really initial stages of this 30-month process to establish drinking and ground and surface water standards. Where are we at right now with water quality? What can you tell us?
Sure. So let's talk a little bit about the proposed standards. So we have asked the governor, and it has been approved, to set standards for PFAS for our groundwater, for our drinking water, and for our surface water. We recently conducted a preliminary hearing on the scope statement for those three rulemakings. We had a number of people submit comments on that, and we'll be going to our citizens board in January requesting that we authorization to proceed with rulemaking for those three areas.
Have you combed through comments yet? What are some things you've seen?
Yes, we have, and we received about 60 comments overall, and it was a ratio of about 4-1 in support over opposition to that. A lot of great comments that we received supporting the rulemaking efforts. The request that we engage stakeholders in during rulemaking, that's what we do when we do rulemaking, which is good. We've had some concerns about the scope of what we intend to do being too broad. Some of the commenters had asked that we limit it to just a couple of the PFAS compounds, specifically the PFOA and PFOS. Those are the ones that we most know the most about. Others had asked that we keep it broad to make sure if there's other health information that comes in that we could include other PFAS. And then there's the issue of, you may know, that you just had announced that the federal government is working on this. You know, some requests that we hold off and wait for EPA to act.
Right. So how is Wisconsin, the work we're doing here in Wisconsin interacting with what's the EPA is saying?
Right. So EPA is working on this. The federal government is doing a number of things on this. In fact, they had committed, they have a PFAS action plan that they had published back in February of this year. And one of the things that they committed to do is determine if they need to move forward on setting a drinking water standard for those two compounds, the FOA and FOS. That will take quite some time to do, and we're facing that issue right now. We have approximately 30 groundwater investigations going on. We have a number of our municipalities that have wells that contain PFAS, that they've detected PFAS. So we need, there's a little bit more urgency on Wisconsin and a number of the other states on setting a standard, getting a standard in place, and not waiting for the federal government in this case.
And the Wisconsin PFAS Action Council, they had their first meeting last month after Governor Evers' executive order to look at the issue. What happened at that meeting?
Yes, yeah, so that was a meeting. That's this PFAS Council that the governor directed that we set up. That's an interagency council made up of all the state agencies. We had essentially the kickoff meeting, as you mentioned, a few weeks back. That was really a meet and greet, get to know each other, start talking about introducing levels so we all start at a baseline understanding of where we're at currently. We're going to be getting together again in mid-January, and at that point we have drafted a charter, essentially what the sideboards of this council will do. We'll finalize that. We'll also look at a beginning work. One of the big initiatives as part of this council is to set up an action plan that we intend to have done by the middle of next summer, by around June. So we'll be talking to the other state agencies, setting up what are the areas of focus that we want to focus on in this action plan, and then looking at how do we engage the public and get them involved in this.
Talking about toxic chemicals, PFAS, with Jim Zellmer of the DNR. Your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. We'll stay with this conversation on PFAS. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. PFAS are a large group of human-made chemicals, thousands of industrial chemicals used in a wide range of consumer and industrial products like some firefighting foams. And so the DNR is in early stages of understanding the scope of contamination statewide. What should Wisconsin do to address chemicals in our groundwater? What needs to happen to regulate this category of chemicals? What should the DNR prioritize? Join in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jim Zellmer stays with us. He's a water quality manager with the Wisconsin DNR. He works in drinking water and groundwater services. Jim, take us back to last summer. Back in July, the DNR requested that 125 wastewater treatment facilities submit samples of their water to be tested for PFAS. How did facilities respond?
Yes, that's a very good question. Thanks, Kate. So we, as you had mentioned, we had sent the letter out to 125 municipalities that we had identified as having industrial users that most likely contribute PFAS-containing wastewater to their sanitary sewer system. Today, we have not had any of the municipalities take us up on that offer to sample. However, we have made some inroads on working with them and some of the associations that represent them on this shared goal of really trying to identify PFAS-containing materials that are entering the wastewater streams and try to look for alternatives or try to minimize or segregate those waste streams so they're not coming through our municipally-owned treatment works.
What kind of inroads have you made with these wastewater treatment facilities?
Yeah, we understand as a result of that letter, a number of the, particularly the larger municipalities, are working on this on their own independently, which we encourage them to continue doing. We also are meeting with a group that is formed that is called the Municipal Water Coalition. They represent some of the professional associations that represent these municipalities on putting together a survey that the treatment works can use to send out to their discharges to their sewer system and ask that they inventory products that are used in either in their manufacturing or commercial processes to see if they do contain PFAS, see if there are alternatives that they could use in lieu of that, or if they do need to use that as part of their process, that they can figure out ways to try to minimize any loss of that material to the wastewater stream, or to segregate that and manage that differently.
So where are we at with the surveying process with this municipal environmental group?
Yeah, so we've met once with them. We plan to meet with them again soon. We're really using, we have a number of states that are far out in front of us on this, particularly Michigan. So we're using, Michigan had developed a survey. We took that and used that as a template, and we're working with this Municipal Water Coalition on crafting that, adding a few other probable PFAS sources to this survey, and we're hoping that survey will be done within the next month or so.
Well, let's switch gears here to Johnson Controls. They recently proposed that the DNR should investigate PFAS contamination on farm fields in northeastern part of the state. Can you explain the situation there with Johnson Controls?
Yeah, so with Johnson Control and Tyco, they manufacture, as you had mentioned, the firefighting foams up there, and there's a pretty widespread groundwater contamination resulting from the, particularly the training center where they have done outdoor training, and that has entered the groundwater. Unfortunately, also some of that is part of the production was discharged to the Marinette and Peshtigo wastewater plants, and then those biosolids, the solids that are remaining after the wastewater is treated, were spread on farm fields in the area, and we're asking JCI, what we consider as the responsible party for
Johnson Controls International. Go ahead.
Johnson Control, I'm sorry, that they include in their investigation an evaluation of those farm fields where the biosolids were spread to determine if there is residual contamination in the soil or in the groundwater or private wells in the area.
So you want them to do this field work testing?
Correct. That's the requirement under, we have the state spills law requires that if a responsible party, in this case Johnson Control, is indicated that they've contributed or caused contamination, that they submit a work plan and conduct an investigation and then ultimately a cleanup plan for that. So that's where we are right now in working with them.
Talking with Jim Zellmer, he is a water quality manager with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We're looking at how Wisconsin environmental regulators are handling these toxic chemicals called PFAS. How do you feel about water quality in Wisconsin? Do you think the governor is doing enough to support clean drinking water? Join in 800-642-1234 with your questions. Jim, the Municipal Water Coalition recently announced an initiative to address PFAS sources. It includes this alliance of groups representing, you know, the water and wastewater utility facilities in Wisconsin, which are working closely with you. What is the coalition working on right now?
Yeah, and that's, as I mentioned, they're working with us on that survey.
That's the survey.
Yep, right.
And you know, with the survey and the Michigan model that you're working off of, are other states taking the lead on PFAS? Where can we look for guidance when you look around the country?
Yes, and fortunately for us, or maybe unfortunately, we have Minnesota to our west and Michigan to our east that have been dealing with this PFAS issue for quite some time. We also have a number of the states out east, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Vermont, and others that mainly related to manufacturers of these PFAS compounds. That's mainly, there's just eight large manufacturers historically of that, two being the largest being 3M and DuPont, the 3M facility in Minnesota. is one that they've been working on for quite some time now. So we're looking at them, the lessons that they've learned, and also collaborating with them on how we move forward and work together to in conducting any research or any new information. There's essentially new information that it seems to be coming out daily on these issues.
Are we handling this category of chemicals in different ways, considering what is being seen in drinking water today?
We are. So we have, for instance, we'll take Rhinelander. The city of Rhinelander has had PFAS compounds detected in two of their wells, and they've taken a proactive approach and very conservative approach of removing those wells from service, and also noticing the public that there was a detection in the wells. Madison had low-level detects, the city of Madison, in a number of their wells. They have voluntarily taken one of their wells offline. Up near the Truax field, one of the airfields that has some contamination. So a very proactive approach on, and really right now as we continue to learn, really err on the side of caution and removing those wells from service.
And as you survey water quality right across the state, are there hot spots of contamination that you're concerned about specifically that you're focusing more of your time and efforts on?
Yeah, and they're mainly, we have, as I mentioned, we have about 30 PFAS groundwater investigations currently being conducted. Most of those are near some of our major airfields and military installations due to the use of this film-forming foam, these firefighting foams, and also, as we discussed, the Johnson Control, where they had manufactured this material. That's really where we're focusing on right now, and we're continuing to learn as those investigations continue and we learn more as additional monitoring is done and information comes in.
So take us through next steps in this 30-month process. Where do we go next?
Yeah, so the next step for our rulemaking process is in January. We'll be presenting our three proposed rules for drinking water, groundwater, and surface water quality to our Citizens Policy Board and asking that they authorize us to begin engaging stakeholders on developing the rules. So then we have from there, then we'll work for approximately a year plus on actually writing the rule, working closely with our stakeholders on writing that rule. We do also, as part of that, a cost-benefit analysis, what this would cost the state of Wisconsin, municipalities, businesses, et cetera, for that. And that all, there'll be public comment periods for there. So there'll be many opportunities for our stakeholders to get engaged during this rulemaking process, but it's pretty fast-paced where we have to get all of this done within this 30-month window.
Well, Jim, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Jim Zelmer is a water quality manager with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He works on water-related issues from the public's perspective, and we've been looking at the category of toxic chemicals called PFAS and next steps on regulation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us for the morning show here on the Ideas Network.